Are you going to put that rant of you calling out players on Twitter and Facebook or whatever, your therapy session Thursday? You can officially call it that, or you got something else?
I would say that's it, you know? I can't really think of anything else off the top of my head. I've been thinking about it all morning, but we got into that, and it does. It irks me. If you are one of those people that you want to go at the players, and I understand that you get to be frustrated. I understand that these guys make more money in a week than a lot of us make in a year. I understand that, okay? Believe me, I know. We work in radio. We know. But at the end of the day, you have to be cognitively aware enough to understand that they are human beings. Okay? These are people that, yes, they make a lot of money. But they're still...
we pay to them.
Right, but they're still people.
Right.
And they make a lot of money because they're really good at what they do. And they're really good at what they do, and what they do is a billions of dollars worth of content. That's what, I mean, theoretically, you could say these guys are content creators. I mean, really, like...
That's true.
athletes...
That's one way to put it, but yeah, it's
athletes,
true.
Athletes, musicians, actors, these guys are content creators. And athletes might be... athletes create better content than maybe anything else on the planet. So, yeah, you can be upset. Yeah, you can voice your grievances. But when it reaches a point where you are being verbally demeaning or physically abusive towards players, they don't deserve that.
No.
Regardless of how much money they make, they don't deserve to be treated that way. Because they're doing what they do because they love this game and they love to entertain you. And they're doing the best they can. And sometimes their best just isn't good enough. Sometimes, you know, things just don't roll their way. Sometimes the basket looks really small, you know. Sometimes the football has a little bit of butter on it. I don't know. You know, sometimes that baseball looks really small coming in. People struggle. Okay, anybody who's played sports at any level understands that. Sometimes you just struggle. Sometimes you struggle on the field. Sometimes you struggle on the court.
That's
diamond. It just happens.
That's just not just sports. That's just life in general.
You know, and sometimes it can multiply. Sometimes it can stack upon itself and really get you dug down deep in a hole. And that's what we're seeing from the Mets right now with Javier Baez, Francisco Lindor. Sometimes things really just don't go your way and you have really bad years. But you know the talent's there. You know how talented Javier Baez is. You know how talented Francisco Lindor is. It could change. It could change in a heartbeat. But the fact that there is this much animosity between the Mets fan base, the Mets front office and ownership, and the players, I don't expect it to change. I mean, they may continue to struggle because they have no backing whatsoever. The only guys that believe in this Mets team are the guys in the dugout. That's it. The owner has no faith in this team. The owner is talking crap
on Twitter.
about his players on Twitter. Well, maybe you should start talking crap about your GM, who's being an absolute moron and getting drunk and driving home. Maybe you should talk some crap to that guy. Maybe you should go at that guy on Twitter because he's the one being an idiot right now. Your team is trying to win you ball games, make the playoffs, make you money. That's the thing. You want to go at the players on Twitter. You want to say the players are doing this, the players are doing that. Go at the owner. Yeah, the players might be making $20 million, but the owner's making $100. Okay, the owner is the one making the most money out of this deal. Go at him. Because he's not doing near enough. He's giving no support to his players whatsoever. And he has been a joke of an owner for a very, very long time. Mets fans have been calling for his head for years. For him to sell the franchise, for him to do this and that and the other. And he's done a piss poor job. He really has.
This is Therapy Session Thursday on ESPN The Jock. No, that's good, bro. Let it all out. Let air out the grievances. This is a safe space here inside the Jock studio. I really don't have anything that's like pissing me off or just like making me really angry. But something that's now annoying to me, I'm an avid sports watcher, obviously, and I like going to a lot of sporting events. And right now, I'm looking at tickets for a Royals game that I may go to, I may not go to, tonight, be it the Cleveland Indians. They're playing, of course, tonight at 7:10, Game 3. Indians have won the first two. The Royals will look to salvage a game tonight. SeatGeek is one of the more popular ticket websites that I have been a part of, and they offer good deals. They really do. And most ticket places do. StubHub, SeatGeek, Vivid Seats, Ticketmaster, whatever, usually offer the best seats. But for so long, and I know this is going to sound like a boomer take, but for so long, it's been so easy to navigate throughout SeatGeek because you folks can't see it, but you can see it here on my screen. You could pick out a location, and it'll show up with like a separate screen off to the side about where you're going to be sitting, your ticket, and how much it's going to cost. Well, now whenever you load up the map, the part of the map of the stadium is now blocked by deals that I don't want. No, SeatGeek, I don't want a $4 seat in section 427 at Kauffman Stadium. I don't want to be sitting in the nosebleeds. I want to be sitting near the dugouts for 20 or 30 bucks. Yet when I do that, it'll pull up another screen in which it blocks the field view of where I'm at. Why are you changing? Why? I know change is good, but not this one. And I know it's a boomer take. I get it. Most people don't like change, myself included. But why did you have to do this? I don't understand. Because like I said, and I'm showing my partner here, Logan, obviously folks can just take my word for it. If you want to see it for yourself, check out SeatGeek.com. We don't have like a promo code or whatever, not yet at least, to get $20 off your ticket purchase or whatever. But I'm trying to go back and look at these seats, yet part of the map is blocked. And then whenever I don't click on a seat, it's wanting me to get seats for like $4 up in section 437, row K, and for like $4. Come on. Give me a break.
It's tough.
I know. First world problems, worrying about a ticket map layout on a ticket website. But
fair.
But no, like I don't want to see these listings. I don't want to see it. I just want to see the full map and make my decision there. We're so petty. Or at least I am. First world problems. But it'd be like that sometimes on the Therapy Session Thursday portion of our podcast. And usually we end it with Therapy Session Thursday. So I don't think we should change from that path now. This has been a good podcast. I've enjoyed it. I always do, of course. Friday, we'll be back with you. Of course, Friday will be the Funky Headlines Friday. But, of course, also on Friday, we're going to be in action in the sports broadcasting realm. Logan, where are you going tomorrow?
I will be in town. I'm going to Springfield Catholic to call a game with the legend, Ned Reynolds. Him and I are calling Springfield Catholic McDonald County. Should be a good one. You know, Springfield Catholic has some talent. You know, first and foremost with Springfield Catholic, you got to start with Liam O'Reilly. You know, big receiver, 6'1", 6'2", about 180 pounds. He's a Missouri State commit for football. So he's a great receiver. Springfield Catholic, a team that had issues last year. Like I said, lost their first three games of the year, then had three games canceled because of COVID. And, you know, the predictions for their year this year are not great. They kind of got manhandled in their first game of the year playing against Lamar. Who has been, along with, you know, Valley Catholic and Webb City and Maryville High School up in northern Missouri, sort of one of those four or five just absolute powers in high school football in the state of Missouri, winning numerous state championships. I think they have won 8, including beating yours truly in my alma mater, Lawson High School.
Ouch.
My sophomore year in the state championship. They beat us 41-0.
Big ouch.
Well, you know, it was one of those things. They needed to score 49 points to break the United States record for points scored by a high school team in a season. And so, I mean, we got a slight win, you know.
That or they
we didn't win. We didn't win the game, but we didn't allow them to score 49 on us.
That close to a record.
We were well aware of what it was, and you know, it was one of those things. We were down 7-0 at the end of the first quarter, and we thought we were playing really well. Well, then it was 28-0 at the end of the first half, and it was one of those things. And their offense was freaking wild. They ran two quarterback sets. They literally had two guys. They had a running quarterback and a passing quarterback, and they would sort of stand in between the center. So if the center was lined up in his spot, the two quarterbacks would stand sort of parallel to the center. One like standing behind one behind the left guard, one behind the right guard. And the center, depending on what play it was, right? If it was a run play, he'd snap it to the running quarterback. If it was a pass play, to the passing quarterback. It was wild, and it was completely like there was no way to really understand it. And playing scout offense that week leading up to state might have been close to the most fun I ever had playing high school football. It was so much fun to do that week. But one of those, and they got thrashed 46-0, Springfield Catholic did. So they're looking for a better performance. McDonald County is a pretty talented team as well. So looking forward to that one. You yourself, where is Willard? Are they at home?
Well, first off, even though it may not be a good performance, I know you will have a great performance yourself on the broadcast with Ned Reynolds. And like you said, he's a Springfield area, a local legend here, so you'll have fun with that. I will be in Willard, first game at the home stomping grounds. It'll be against Republic, and that is probably Willard's biggest rival. Not as big as a rivalry as, say, like in town, Ozark versus Nixa, or, you know, a couple of Springfield public schools going at it, like, say, Glendale and Kickapoo. But it's a rivalry nonetheless, and I'm looking forward to it. Willard's going to look to bounce back, lost 39-13 to a really good Carl Junction team. And, it's been really interesting to see and watch the new offense, from Frank Tristan, see some new faces in that lineup, and looking forward to calling some Friday night lights here tomorrow night. Of course, your game won't be on the Jock stations. It'll be on 560 KWTO.
That is correct.
Because Springfield Cardinals have preceding rights over the Jock airwaves for their games. Their season will end in about a couple weeks here. Actually, it'll end next week, next Sunday, I believe.
2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks from this upcoming Sunday.
I think so. September 19th, I want to say,
okay,
is their final game. I can, quickly pull up the schedules here on my phone. God bless.
Yeah, God bless the internet and Steve service.
Yep, September 19th. Sunday, September 19th is their last game. That'll be the end of a six-game series against the Northwest Arkansas Naturals. A 2:05 first pitch, September 19th. That'll be their final game of the season. So, 17 days out. And before we close out, just want to give a big shout-out to two very special people. Today...
Casey and Mahomes?
Nope.
Ah.
Today is, like I said, September 2nd. On this day, 7 years ago, I worked up the nerve to ask out a girl that I really, really liked. That girl is now my fiance. So, Maggie, happy 7-year anniversary. I love you. And then the second person who might, to be completely honest with you, aside from her, be my second favorite human being on the planet. Maybe third behind my mama. I don't know. It's hard to put those people in order, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
On this day 6 years ago, so Maggie and I's 1-year anniversary, Maggie's niece was born. Our niece, of course, Cambry. She's now 6 years old. She's in school today. She's in her first week of kindergarten. So her first full week of kindergarten. So she's at school today. I'm sure enjoying herself, eating lunch right about now. So happy birthday, Cambry, 6 years old. I love you as well. So big shout out to two of my favorite people on the planet. I had to do that before we closed out today.
Of course. Hoping Cambry is enjoying her lunch with her friends there at whatever elementary school she's at. You said she's in kindergarten?
Kindergartner at Southwest Elementary.
There you go. All right, that'll about do it here for this edition of the Rookie Sports Report Podcast. Matthew Rizzo alongside Logan Weber. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Ball game!